Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Appreciate that. And I want to join Pastor Sue when she was saying thank you to all of you that helped us put on Friday night's Winterfest. It was so much fun just seeing everybody be blessed and people, families getting prayer in the prayer tent over there. You know, and I was announcing that a few times because we forgot to put prayer tent, we forgot to label it, but I was announcing it, and people were going over to receive prayer for their families, for their children, to receive prayer for their finances or for healing, and I just thank God that we can believe for miracles, amen, miracles. That's what this season is all about. So thank you, worship team, and my dear wife, Pastor Jeanette on the piano. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to ask for our team to bring me a lapel mic here that I forgot to put on here today so I can free up this hand. By the way, when I drove in today, I noticed there's still a snow mountain out there. It's about this high, just a little mountain now. But there's still snow in Florida out there next to the tent in the youth center. So we had a great time. We served 2,000 hamburgers and hot dogs out there. And so many of you worked games and serving hot chocolate and popcorn and making cookies, Christmas cookies. Yeah, some of you worked there. I appreciate you guys worked so hard. And thank you, thank you. Well, praise the Lord. You know, this is a season I want you to be aware is the easiest time to share your faith. It's the most likely time that God's going to put somebody in front of you with a need, and you're going to have the opportunity to put your hands on, pray for somebody. Just reach out and say, here, shake my hand and pray for them about that need. And being Hanukkah, if you can give me my screens, we'll put it up here. The Hanukkah candles, some of you are lighting candles, one for each day. And that ends tomorrow night. Am I on? Should be. There we go. It ends tomorrow evening. But this Feast of Dedication, it's actually to commemorate a mighty miracle that happened back when the Maccabees, a group of Jewish warriors, took back the Jerusalem and the temple, and they were rededicating the temple in Jerusalem. They were lighting the great menorah that lit the whole area, and that they only had one day's worth of oil. But the miracle was that God allowed it to burn for 8 days on just one day's worth of oil. It was a miracle of God. A great miracle happened there, is what a lot of Jewish people are saying during this Feast of Dedication. So happy Hanukkah to all of you. Let's keep believing for miracles. The Feast of Dedication, to me, also reminds us of the miracle that's happened in our lives. Because guess what? You are the temple of the living God. I've been underscoring that, I think, all year. Because when you walk out of this sanctuary every Sunday, every Wednesday, or whenever we're having a service, I want you to feel like you've not left the temple, but you are the temple. Amen. That you're a carrier of the presence of God, and that God's got a divine appointment, an assignment for you somewhere in the world today. And so as we celebrate this Feast of Dedication, I want to today help you understand how your life is lived by God on assignment. And here's a word I want to put out before you today. The new normal for the body of Christ is you have dusty shoes. Well, I'm using that kind of as a metaphor. I actually heard Pastor David Jeremiah say that word. It just resonated with me. Because I've always said ministry is messy, and you've got to be willing to get your hands dirty. You know, it's not always all going to go right. I mean, Friday night pretty much all went right. You know, I mean, I think I told you the only thing I saw that we missed was to put prayer tent, labeled the prayer tent. And so people didn't know what that beautiful white tent was all about. But, you know, ministry is messy. Sometimes things go wrong, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So I've been preaching all year, you know, that we're being changed, we're being transformed, and that, and now this season, know that the Christ of Christmas, of Christmas, is the Spirit of the living God that lives inside of you. You are one of the King of Kings, kings and kids here in the kingdom of God, and God has an assignment on your life, and it's going to take you into the world. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say, go find a church. He said, I'm sending you into the world. Now, we come to the church. I like to call it the holy huddle, you know, to get our plays and get our instructions and get the principles that work, the keys to the kingdom. But we need to be out on the playing field of life, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Declare the good news. The kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is a wonder-working gospel. It's a miracle-working gospel. A lot of people don't know that miracles are still happening today. And if you've had a miracle in your life, the testimony of some miracle that God's done for you, salvation is a miracle, is the most authentic sermon you can preach. So you're not called necessarily to pound a pulpit and be a preacher, but we all have the Great Commission upon us. And today, that term, dusty shoes, I'm going to refer to it throughout because I want us all to venture out of our comfort zone a little bit, take the example of Christ, and risk getting our hands and feet a little dirty as we share the good news of the gospel. Watch this video.
O come, all ye faithful. One of the greatest Christmas carols ever written. You've probably heard it hundreds of times. But there's a word in the song that's a bit out of place, and it's right in the title. O come, all ye faithful. You see, Jesus didn't come for the faithful. He came for the faithless. He came not for the righteous, but for the sinners. Jesus said, the healthy don't need a doctor. The sick do. He came for the hurting. He came for the doubters. He came for those who have written God off and want nothing to do with him. He came for one reason, so that we, the faithless, could be made faithful. Not by our own righteousness, but by his righteousness. No matter what you've done or what you've been through, Jesus came for you. So come, come all ye faithless, and he will make you joyful and triumphant. Christ is in our midst, right here, right now. So come.
Hallelujah. What a great message. The good news. Christ came for the faithless so we could be made faithful. Amen, somebody. This is such a great message for us during this season because I want you to believe not only for your own life, but for your family, for your children, for your friends, for your neighbors. In the early service, I was introduced to somebody that was here for the first time, and they came as a neighbor of somebody that comes here regularly. By the way, we didn't do this earlier, so maybe somebody could help me. If you're visiting with us, this is your first time to come to the family church here at Christian Retreat, would you raise your hand? And I've got some team members that are going to put something in your hand right now. If you're visiting with us for the first time here today, we're not going to embarrass you in any way. We just want to put something in your hand. Okay. Well, you're going to have to go out and bring your neighbors for next Sunday, okay? Go get your neighbors. Hallelujah. Because we had a good number of people here for the first time in the early service. Listen, this is a prayer that Jesus prayed to his Father about us. John 17 is a great chapter to read sometimes because Jesus said, Father, I pray that you will make them one with you as
I am one with you. That's the oneness that Jesus prayed for us. He probably understood that we wouldn't always all get along one with another. So sometimes we think that God's going to make all of us come into unity. Probably not. But you know what's even more important? Let's all come into unity with our Heavenly Father. Amen. Like Jesus was in unity. Jesus was performing miracles because he'd get up in the morning and his Father would show him who he was going to heal that day. So Jesus didn't have to pray over people. Just say, hey, you, rise, take up your bed and walk, you know. Be healed, even as you said. What do you want? Well, I'd like to receive my sight. Well, be it unto you according to your faith. Receive your sight. Boy, I like that kind of prayer, don't you? But here's what he says in John 17:15, says to the Father, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. We're in the world, but not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Wow, you and I have an assignment, an assignment. You don't have to be an ordained minister, ordained by man. John 15:16, Jesus said, you have not chosen me. I've chosen you and ordained you in that you should go forth and bring fruit. So this is the message that's upon this house. It's why every Christmas Eve, I take teams of Christmas carolers and go into the bars. And we sing Christmas carols, and then we fan out and go one-on-one with everybody in the bar offering prayer. And when we started this 33 years ago, hard to believe because I didn't know it was that old. When we started this, you know, we were wondering whether we would be received. You know, we'd be allowed to do this. Well, I thought it's a free country, so I know, you know, we're allowed to do it, but how will it be received? We were surprised to see how well we were received. And, of course, we get people singing the carols and help people understand this is a religious holiday, after all. This is commemorating the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And some people kind of forget that in all the glitz and glamour, you know, of the holiday. But we sing, and I play the accordion. And a lot of times people are saying, you know, why would you give up your Christmas Eve to come and do this for us? You know, and they recognize that it is a sacrifice, you know, in part to do that. But it's a joy to see what God will do. And, you know, a lot of them think that they're not worthy, you know, that we should come and talk about Jesus to them. But that's my message today. Don't ever disqualify anybody. Jesus came for the sinners. He came for those that are hurt and broken. And usually people that don't think they have any needs, they're not ready to receive Jesus. But Jesus, when he stood up and announced his ministry, said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to people that recognize that they have a need. Mike Bennett, you know, he blows the shofar here. I've asked him to bring it maybe at the close. When we pray a prayer of dedication, I'll have him blow the shofar over us. He comes with my team, and we walk into a bar to get everybody's attention. He blows the shofar, you know. And then I shout out, everybody, when you hear the shofar, the trumpet sound, you got to shout Hosanna. And so they say, okay, and he blows it, and they all say, Hosanna! And some guy came up to me afterwards, and one time he said, hey, what does Hosanna mean? I said, it means Lord, save us now. So praise God. We're prophesying, you know, right when we walk in, that God's going to do something. My daughter and her husband, Justin, they were with us a few times on this, and play a little video clip that Justin shot just to have you see kind of how it goes. Silent Night is always a favorite, but we light candles. We're going to have a candlelight Christmas Eve service first here in the sanctuary, 7 o'clock, and then after the service, Those of you that would like to go out on the team, you're welcome to join us on Christmas Eve and do some of this caroling in the bars. That's Fred back there on the trombone behind me. People sing with us. And then probably the most rewarding part is going one-on-one and praying for people and watching some people just in tears receive that prayer of blessing, and some that are coming to Christ, literally crying in their beer, as they say. And it's a great blessing, you know, to remind them that Jesus is no longer a baby in a manger, you know, but he can live inside of your heart and give you eternal life. This girl here with the shirt, this Bud's for You, she came to Jesus that night. And that's actually a happy smile right there after she got sober and received prayer. And she was so ready for it as well. Bringing faith to the faithless. That's our assignment, church. And I tell you what, the world knows we're here. The world knows we're here. I'm reminded some years ago walking into a cowboy bar with my group and the Southern Comfort Saloon, you know, and this was for cowboys, you know, and I knew it was a rough place. And so I was a little nervous for my team, you know, but we got up and I thought we'd start out with something a little less religious. I said, listen, we're going to start out with Jingle Bells, something you all know, you know. And well, this rowdy cowboy on the front, he yells out to me, come on, sing about Jesus. We know why you're here. So I was rebuked right away for trying to sneak up on. Listen, you don't have to do that today. Just be out front with your faith. You are the light of the world. People are looking for somebody to follow that's got their lives together. And if you can just be bold enough to just speak it out, not preach it, don't be preachy, just be you. And let people know that it's genuine. It works for you. And inquiring minds want to know. But I just love, some of you will see yourself in this this picture. I don't have a lot of pictures of when we go out, but there's a Christian newspaper that did an article on this just a couple years ago. And we put it in a little flyer, and I think they've got some of those in the back if you'd like to find out more about that caroling in the bars. Listen. Baby Jesus is the main character of Christmas. God in human form came to this earth in the vulnerable form of a baby, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin named Mary. He was raised like any other child, grew up, be 30 years old, obedient to his parents, unknown until released by God to fulfill his destiny. And I just want to declare, every one of us, every one of you have a destiny to fulfill. You're never too old to start. Hallelujah. You know, at the close of the service, I want you to meet about 28 new church members here. And by the way, members in this church, you're not members of an institution. We just want you to feel a part of this family of God. And we've got... among those, I don't know if she's here right now, but Glenn, is your mama here? Oh, the oldest member in our church now. She's 96. There you are in the back there. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. And we'll introduce them here in close. I want you to meet some of them. But I just want you to be reminded of that. Because this is not just a practice of religion. We know that Matthew 1:21, when the angel was announcing to Joseph about this immaculate conception in Mary, he said, she'll give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, Yeshua in the Hebrew. It means the Lord saves. And he will save his people from their sins. Wow, what an assignment. What an assignment. And Jesus fulfilled that assignment. And because of that, he was able to go to heaven and send his Holy Spirit to live and dwell in us so that we could be like Jesus walking on this earth, healing the sick. Go ye into all the world. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, you shall cast out devils. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Wow. You say, well, what if I do that and nothing happens? Well, I like to say, what if something does happen? You know, it could happen. And if it would happen, it would change your life as well as the life of the person that you are praying for. Wow, I got to keep moving, but I'm always getting stories. I like your story here today, Sister Millie, when you're talking about meeting somebody. I meet people all the time out in the marketplace that somehow I've touched their life, you know, by praying for them. Sometimes they're waiting on me in a restaurant and I'm praying for my waiter, you know, or something like that. And years later, you know, they're meeting me. I was at one of my favorite restaurants here. I'm putting a plug out for them out on the beach, right on the sands of Bradenton, the beach house. You know, just love it at sunset out there. And I'm out there having my dinner, and one of the waiters there comes to me and says, "Hey, Pastor Phil, we met at the bar down there on Bridge Street, and he said, "Yeah, we go there after we work, and we met there, and you prayed for me at the bar, and I felt the power of God." And that was on a Christmas Eve that we prayed for somebody that I didn't know that they go, because it's real close to the bar out there on the island. But I'm going to tell you, your life will become more exciting when you get some dust on your shoes and you're willing to take the risk and you're willing to be inconvenienced. You know, when you're driving past somebody and God says, stop and pray for them. Or when somebody's holding out the little sign that says, you know, help, you know, any help will do. You know, I don't give to all of them. I don't. But when I hear the Spirit say, do this, do that, man, I'll make a U-turn and go back and do it. Because I want my life to be fun. I don't want to get bored. How about you? You can get bored just going to church. But I want to see God do something and see the fingerprints of God on my life. Don't you, Sister Jean? Hallelujah. Listen, don't miss the Sunday, the 19th, Back to the Manger at the children's production. It's going to be awesome. And later on that day, some of you, a lot of our volunteers, you're being invited to our house. We're having a Christmas party at our house.
It's not just children. It's not just children.
No, that's for all the volunteers.
No,
Dad, you can come. Be your volunteer. My dad's going to be there. No, the Christmas program on Sunday morning, it's for everybody.
But it's adults and youth are also doing it. Adults
and youth are in it. That's what made me think of it, because Sister Jean is an actress, and I know she's going to be in.
Grandma.
You're and a grandma.
I think they typecast me.
Okay, you're playing grandma in it. Okay, let me give you another example here. You know, by the way, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which means house of bread, you know, and he's the bread of life. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, which are also used to wrap the dead. He came to give his life for us, for salvation. All this symbolism and imagery helps us understand that what we're a part of is the real deal. I mean, this is not just a storybook. This is an accurate history book. It's been proven. These things have happened and they've come to pass. Here's something else that came to pass. God revealed this birth of a Savior first to shepherds out in a dusty field that had dusty shoes. And they said the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And next Sunday, Sister Janet, you're going to talk about the glory of the Lord. What is it? It's the power of God. They saw it. They felt it. They were changed by it. And verse 10, the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Are you willing to get your shoes a little dusty and share the Christ of Christmas to somebody this season? Wave at me. Are you willing? Are you willing? Good. I'm preaching to the right crowd. I want you to turn, if you would, to just a couple stories in the Bible. I'm going to be real brief here today. But in Luke chapter 7, there's a story of Jesus being anointed by a sinner woman. And Jesus made the point. This was in a Pharisee's house, Pharisee Simon's house. He was educated, wealthy, well-dressed. He knew the book of the law. Jesus was there to have dinner. And this woman of the city heard he was going to be there. And she came, brought an alabaster box of ointment, weeping at his feet, began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair, kissed his feet, anointing them with oil. And I'm going to pick up the story here in verse 39. When Simon the Pharisee, who had invited Jesus, saw this, he said to himself, he was just thinking this. He said, if this man, Jesus, were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered his thoughts. Jesus knew what he was thinking. He said, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Jesus said, two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50 denarii. Now, 500 denarii was like a year and a half's worth of wages. So that's a lot of money. So one owed him a lot of money. One owed him just about a month worth of wages. And that's a smaller amount of money. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon. He turned to the woman and he said to Simon, the Pharisee, you see this woman? I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Speaking about self-righteousness. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests begin to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I want to challenge us today. I'm going to just put this one scripture up here on the screen, verse 47. Who has been forgiven much loves much. You know, I think about this, Zach. For you, because, you know, you come up here with all your tattoos and all your stories about prison and the drugs, the background that you've had, and you know you've been forgiven much. God's given you another chance. And so the depth of your love and your compassion can be seen from everything you write and every word that you preach. I love that about you. I want to speak to us as a church. You know, I've never had that in my past, but I'm asking God, Lord, give me a rededication of this temple so that I will walk in the love and the compassion that you want to see coming forth from me, and that my life will reach out to others and bless them like you blessed this sinner woman. Jesus gave this story, and it ends up in our Bible here in order to challenge Simon in the moment and us today to make sure that we're walking in love and that we're reaching out to people and so much more in these days as the world gets darker. It's getting more easy for us, you know, to speak about the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. Amen, somebody? Amen. And so I'm talking today about dusty shoes. Here's another story. If you just turn a few more pages beyond in your Bible, in Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells another story, the parable of the great banquet. And as it would be, here he's at, again, at a Pharisee's house, a prominent Pharisee. And Jesus had just, he's there for dinner, and He had just healed a man on the Sabbath, which the Pharisees didn't appreciate that, you know, but Jesus was always doing the right thing regardless of what all the laws were that they had put on the people. He was doing the right thing. And he had just given a brief lesson on serving others. He was noticing how all of the Pharisees wanted the best seats. And so he says, look, when you give a banquet, invite the poor and the crippled, the lame and the blind. And then you'll be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Verse 15. And then when one at the table heard him mention the resurrection, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus replied with this story. He said, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. All very lame excuses, by the way, and even laughable if you break it down. You know, no one's going to buy a field without seeing it first, or buy 5 yoke of oxen without trying them out, right? And getting married shouldn't keep you from coming. But the servant came back and reported this to his master, that everybody was making excuses. And the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, and there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Hallelujah. I think the context of this story in Jesus' day was Jesus reflecting on the fact that, and we read this in John 1:11, that he came to his own and his own received him not. He came first to the Jews and the kingdom was rejected by the Jews. Thank God, you know, now it's available for whosoever will may come. Hallelujah. But I believe that the Jews' eyes will be open and they will recognize Yeshua as HaMashiach. I believe that we're going to see that time come as the Bible declares. But what I want to help you understand today, and Jesus said these words in Mark 2 and verse 17, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Luke 15, we see the stories about leaving the 99 to go search down that one lost sheep. The woman searching for that one lost coin. You know, the Bible says that when one lost one comes to repentance, the angels in heaven rejoice. Hallelujah. I want that to inspire you today to see the assignment of God that's on each of our lives. Not just to come to church and receive instructions for the assignment, but to go out from church onto the playing field of life and with spiritual eyes see the opportunities that are growing around us for people that are so willing, so desperately willing to hear some good news in the world today. Dusty shoes, folks, dusty shoes. If we're willing to step out and just a little bit, I tell you what, the anointing that's within us, that wonder-working power is so ready to work through us. If you've never seen a miracle under your hands, wait until you do. It'll radically change you. It'll mess you up. You know, it'll destroy your timidity and your tentativeness, you know, about your faith, because you'll know that God is who he says he is. You know, the first time that I saw the power of God overcome demonic possession. You know, where somebody demon-possessed, genuinely demon-possessed. You know, not just, you know, a Hollywood put-on, but, I mean, the real deal. I mean, make your skin crawl. But when I saw the power of God with the spoken word, just like Jesus said, in my name, you shall cast out devils. Hallelujah. You know, when we give the Aaronic benediction, when I speak that prayer out of number 6 over you at the close of every service, Jesus told the priest, you teach them to pray this over the Israelites. And he says, I will put my name upon them, my authority upon them, and I will bless them. Hallelujah. We're walking this out, church, not just to feel good, but to walk and bring the power of God to a desperately hungry world. And when we're seeing the kind of shootings that we did again this week, you know, again, the world is coming to a place of saying, where do we turn? Is there any hope? And I'm happy to say, yes, there is hope. Hallelujah. And if you find an opportunity, you just ask yourself, what would Jesus do? And you just do what you've seen the example of Jesus do. I want to celebrate the Salvation Army for a moment. I'm putting this picture up here, you know, because I always smile when I see the bell ringers come out, the Red Kettle bell ringers come out. And I once had a statistic on this. It's been a few years old now, but there's like 25,000 bell ringers, you know, in the U.S., 25,000. And that year, I think they raised about $15 million in these little kettles. Hallelujah. But I want to talk to you about the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth. William Booth, actually from England, 1878 is when he founded the Salvation Army. And it was founded as a religious outreach to London's poor. And he called himself the general, you know, and he wore a military uniform, and all of their workers, described their mission in martial terms as military. And I think we should live our lives this way too. Jesus said, go into all the world, occupy until I come. You know, we know there's a spiritual battle going on. But I want to read for you. A historian tells us how William Booth saw his ministry. And I'm quoting what William Booth said about his ministry. It was for wife beaters, cheats and bullies, prostitutes, boys who had stolen from their family for money, unfaithful husbands, burglars, and teamsters who had been cruel to their horses. That's who his ministry was originally for. Hallelujah. You think we still need ministries like that in the world today? Well, I want to close on this, because today I want to close with a dedication prayer that we're going to pray on this Feast of Dedication. Then we're going to take communion together. And if there's anything that you need to do to set a new course, maybe to do a reset in your life, let's look to this day, this prayer of dedication, our communion, taking the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ together. Let's believe that God's going to do something fresh to give us eyes to see the assignment that's on the church today. Because if you can see yourself getting your shoes a little dusty on the streets of this city, or maybe even speaking out among your family, let me tell you, the Bible says that your feet are beautiful. Look at this, Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just believe that we're living in the greatest time in the history of the world. And I want to deputize all of you to be a part of the Lord's army. He's already called you and ordained you. And I want to say, as a part of this church, I want you to see yourself on assignment as an ambassador of Christ in the world today. Look at your hands right now, if you would. When the Bible says lay hands on the sick, he's talking about your hands. These hands, anointed by God. Because if you get this close to somebody where you can take them by the hand, God puts you into a position of impartation, of imparting the same God that's in you, the same power of God that's in you to somebody else. And the Bible says, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here now. And it's just as close as your hands to get your hands on somebody. Amen. You know, some of you will have an opportunity to pray over your children because of this season around the Christmas dinner table. I say, take an opportunity to put your hands on them and pray a blessing over them. I want us to stand, if we could, right now. I'm going to put this prayer of dedication up on the screens for us to pray. And, you know, if you are not sure of where you stand with Christ, this can be a prayer of salvation as well. It's a prayer of rededication if you already know where you stand with Christ. But why not make sure that you know that you know? And as you pray this, just say yes to Jesus. I hope you can see it okay from where you sit. I got a couple screens here, but when we pray this together, we're making a declaration. We're saying it out loud. We're praying it into the atmosphere, and we're declaring and decreeing what our heart believes. Are you ready? Here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, I dedicate myself afresh to you today. I confess my deep need for your love, mercy, and forgiveness. I humble myself under your mighty hand and ask your forgiveness for known and unknown sins, for pride and self-centeredness. I confess you today as my Lord and Savior. I place my full trust in you and lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge you, and I desire that you direct my paths. I commit my way unto you, Lord, and thank you for your grace upon my life. I commit to love you with my heart, all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. I promise to live a godly, obedient, and growing life of faith through the spiritual disciplines of prayer, Bible study, community, and personal witness. I ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's just all lift our hands right now. And Father, I ask that you would anoint our hands for the work of the ministry. Lord, anoint our hearts, stir us up, Father, for this assignment in this season. And Father, I pray especially for the families and those that have already come to the altar today. Lord, let this be a season of miracles, especially for the family, and bring to pass what you've promised in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen, amen. You can be seated, and at this time, our elders and ushers are going to pass out the communion elements, and there's a cup with the bread in it and a cup with the juice. Take a cup for each of them and just hold them in your hands until we're all served, and the bread is in a cup, too, so that it's not been touched by any human hands, but we're going to ask God to touch it today. Thank you, Gary. And I've asked the worship team to sing the blessing over us as we're passing out the elements.
Shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Amen.
Pray a prayer of blessing over these elements. See, we're still getting them passed out. But Dad, would you pray a blessing?
Thank you, Father, for the privilege to partake of your body, your life. Thank you for the bread. We pray your blessing upon it. And cause us, Father, to be willing to be broken enough that we can recognize any person's need that we bump into and come in touch with. Help us, Lord, to be a part of you in such a way that everyone we look at will be healed, be touched by your presence. We give you thanks for this bread. Bless it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
And we pray blessing over the cup too. And Father, I pray that there'll be an empowerment, Lord, as we have prayed the prayer of rededication. Lord, there be an empowerment by the supernatural power of your Spirit that lives within us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are we all served? No? Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said, every time that you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And every time I read that, I think about, you know, we need to remember that the plan of God, that it didn't end just with our salvation. But the last word to Jesus when he left is, go ye. And so we want to embrace this assignment today, Lord, as we take this, Lord, just awaken that purpose that we have from heaven upon each of our lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I think we're all served. The body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ given to you, to me. Let's all take it together.
Yeah.
the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Lord, your blessing to be upon your people today, O God. Lord, that touch from heaven. Lord, that kiss from heaven, Lord. Lord, let each one here today and those of you at home watching online, the Spirit of the Lord rise up right there in your living room. Receive the touch of his presence. And we make this declaration over you, the blessing, the favor of the living God. Favor for protection, favor for provision, favor for peace. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your promise. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, before